Produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live.
Hello, everyone. It is time for another edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. We, of course, want to thank you so much for joining us today. Today's powerful woman is Angela Nelson. Angela is the Vice President of Multicultural Business Development at Experience Grand Rapids. Of course, that's the destination marketing organization here. Angela leads Experience Grand Rapids' multicultural initiatives related to community relations, diversity and inclusion, and workforce development. She also supports the sales and marketing teams to promote West Michigan as a welcoming multicultural destination. I should also mention, Angela is a GVSU grad, and she has a master's from MSU's Eli Broad College of Business. So let us welcome Angela Nelson. Angela, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jennifer, for having me. I am definitely humbled to be here.
Well, we are honored to have you here. We have a lot to talk about. First, I have to mention a couple of your accomplishments. This is kind of to set the table for all that you're doing. You have been honored as one of West Michigan's 50 most influential women for your leadership role at Experience GR and Community Service. You're on numerous boards and committees, including but not limited to the Gilda's Laugh Fest Cabinet, Grand Rapids Children's Museum Board of Directors, and you're the past president of our dear sorority, Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, where you not only have led, but you were involved in such projects as Proactive and Election Protection Coalition. And of course, all of that adds up to you being a very busy woman. And that was just the short list. So again, we thank you for joining us. We're going to start with the position at Experience Grand Rapids. So VP of Multicultural Business Development. That is a critical position, I would think, especially considering today's climate. Part of your role is to make sure people understand that Grand Rapids is a welcoming place for all, right?
Yeah, the position was newly created when I came on board, so I've been in that role now for 4 years. It's gone by fairly quickly, and last year was certainly a blur, given all that's been taking place. But it has been a rewarding and a very eye-opening role, I think, just within the community and within this industry. I hadn't been in hospitality and tourism prior to the role, and so I had a lot to learn about the industry and how tourism was a driver of economic development for the community. And then from there, really diving into those respective areas that you talked about, being able to support our sales and marketing team with attracting new convention business. I don't even know if anyone realizes that's a thing, right? Where we actively go out and sell Grand Rapids as a destination to groups. So a lot of people are associated with associations and with, you know, let's say if you, you know, broadcasting, right? There's a mm-hmm. broadcasters association, and I'm sure there's a conference that you attend mm-hmm. Annually or even maybe monthly. You know, different groups have different times where they come together, but to introduce Grand Rapids as a location for them to host that meeting is a thing. So we're actively going after new groups, and specifically I'm supporting them with helping to attract multicultural groups. You mentioned our sorority, right? We mm-hmm. have annual conferences, regional conferences, and so those are the types of organizations where we want to introduce them to Grand Rapids as a destination. And then also I support our marketing team. So all of the marketing of Grand Rapids as a tourist location, you know, for travel, leisure travelers, whether that's online or our billboards, you know, we're like actively telling them that Grand Rapids is a place where you can come and enjoy our community. We have amazing assets here, from the Gerald R. Ford Museum to the Meyer Gardens. And so those are things that people are attracted to. And there's been all kind of talk in the media lately about some new assets coming to the community, mm-hmm. you know, potentially the aquarium. Those are drivers of tourism. So it's exciting. But I can go on and on and on, because, you know, not only do I support sales and marketing, but I also have the leadership responsibility to support our diversity and inclusion efforts.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to get to next.
That's really a
big piece of what you do as well.
It's a big piece, and it's kind of the thread it's the needle that threads all these different areas together. So it is a priority for our organization. In fact, we just expanded our diversity advisory committee to include non-board members, community individuals, community stakeholders, because we definitely need that diverse voice at the table. We need to be more inclusive in our marketing and our sales efforts. And we are making progress towards that. You know, I don't know that there's one institution that does it perfectly. We're all striving to be better institutionally, to consider, you know, the community in which we live in and be reflective of the community that we live in. So it's a very unique role and I'm enjoying it. Definitely. It's been a great ride and I'm learning a lot from not just our community partners, but from our industry partners. So just being able to connect with other industry peers has been very rewarding and very helpful in this role, because sometimes you can feel alone.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, even in leadership. And you know, Shannon Cohen, mm-hmm. who is a powerful woman in her own right.
She's been on the show.
Oh, great. Yeah, she definitely has a platform that speaks to women in leadership. In that space of loneliness at times where, you know, we think we've made it and you're like, oh, I'm up here by myself. What's going on?
Where's my help? What's happening?
Right. Yeah, you know, where are the other people that look like me, you know? So I'm enjoying it for sure.
Good. Well, we're glad that you are. And so, you know, powerful women don't get to be powerful without having to deal with life's issues and things that you talk about along the way, feeling that loneliness at the top there. As we talk about powerful women, have there been any barriers that you've encountered as you've traveled along your career's path?
Absolutely.
I know that's a loaded question because most people would say, yes, of course.
Absolutely. And where do I begin? You know, I think as I continue to mature as an adult and in my profession, I reflect on that often. Like, what could I have done differently to get here sooner? Mm-hmm. Because I definitely have those fleeting thoughts of like, I'm too old now to pursue this. I am.
They say you're never too old.
I know they say that, but it doesn't. It does not.
You have to believe it.
I believe that I'm actually in the prime of my career. I know a woman never tells her age, but I'm 40 and I believe I'm in a prime of my career and there's still tons of opportunities before me. But some of the barriers that I have faced, one is self-doubt. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of alluded to that. At times, not giving myself enough credit for my ability and using that confidence to propel me forward in mm-hmm. a way that, you know, superseded anybody's thoughts about my ability to do XYZ. And primarily in a corporate space, you mm-hmm. know. So I've had an interesting career path. My degree is in computer information systems, or actually it's in management information systems. And then I received my minor in computer information systems. But I went on to explore a career path in technology, which in itself is a career that already has its barriers for women and people of color. Mm-hmm. And it's a path that you have to stay up to date on.
It's ever changing.
And so one of the barriers for me at that time was not pursuing my master's in IT and really kind of taking that next step immediately to stay relevant in that industry. So I feel like I limited myself and the roles that I was able to take. And so ended up starting my career at a local bank here and was in their IT department. But even then, I think some of my barriers were, again, just staying relevant or staying current with technology and being mm-hmm. able to compete in that space. From that career or from that job, I went on to another local large company and stayed there for 10 years. And I changed careers. I did a switch. Never thought that I'd be in community relations. Didn't really know what it was at the time. I was kind of dead set on being in technology until I realized that I wasn't the it girl anymore. And I used to tease and call myself the IT girl.
IT girl, the it girl.
That's my corny joke for the day.
I have to jump in on that because you're talking about something that was kind of like my next question, and it kind of comes together. So when you know, we all have a different journey and roads on our roads to success and accomplishment, be it our work life, family, friend life. I was going to ask you what it takes to, because you're talking about the barriers there, and just initially you said your self-doubt. And my question is, what has it taken you to find your own voice? So now going from IT, the IT girl, up until now in community relations, and so some of your barriers have been about even yourself. What has it taken for you, or are you comfortable yet in your own skin and finding your voice, or are you still in the process of that?
So, to best answer that question, I think I discovered that I had to do what was best for me in that second job. So when I moved from the bank to this other company, it was in that role that I started to find my voice. And I think it was naturally because I saw others around me. So I saw white counterparts that had less skills or were entering at an entry level, superseding me. And I knew it wasn't for my lack of working hard or dedication and, you know, getting outstanding performance reviews. And when opportunities came along, they just did not prevail in the same way that they did for my white counterparts. And I started to raise a brow and I started to challenge. I won't go into that specific scenario, but I started to challenge and question more so than I did entering in that career, because I was 26 when I transitioned to that company. So again, young in my career. And then I just realized, you know what, I have to stand up for myself. I was voluntold into positions I didn't really want. And I decided that, you know, the next job is going to be what I want to do, how I want to do it. And I'm going to move when I want to move.
Good for you. And that is fine. That is mm-hmm. part of finding your own voice. Absolutely.
Yeah. So
being in your position, then you, of course, engage with community mm-hmm. a lot. You work with numerous people, different positions. So as it turns out now, what leadership traits, because you've learned a lot over time, do you like to see perhaps in those with you on this journey, those you work with, or those perhaps that you're mentoring?
Yeah, I find that the best for me, I lead. I'm a servant leader. So I enjoy following just as much as I enjoy being out front and being an example. So I live by the saying, do as I say and not as I do, you know, because I definitely feel that, first of all, my reputation precedes me. And so I'm very careful that I'm always modeling how I want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I treat others. So I find that my leadership style is definitely a servant leader. I'm not a micromanager. I lead with humility. I lead with integrity. And so all those things combined, I believe, has allowed me to develop the reputation that I have because I do follow through and say what I'm going to do and do what I'm going to say. So I trust that whenever I have a mentee that they have agreed or approached me about mentorship because there was this quality that they saw in me that they wanted to model. Mm-hmm. And likewise, when I look for a mentor, that quality or those values align. So
they have to.
And I have male mentors, I have female mentors, I have white mentors, and I have black mentors. So again, just that diversity of thought is important to me as well. I don't want to be like everyone that thinks like me and that looks like me. I value different walks of life.
And that helps within your position as well.
Absolutely.
That you currently have with multicultural.
Absolutely.
Aspects.
I've been told I have an old soul. So from a very young age, I've always sought out the wisdom of my elders. I always have a dear respect for my elders. You know, I think about Delta and our Delta Deers. Mm-hmm. Betty Burton Gross comes to mind.
Absolutely.
As one of my mentors. And she tells me like it is. You know, she loves me for the good, the bad, and the ugly at times. But I appreciate that because it's not always, you know, I'm doting on Angela. She will correct me. Mm-hmm. And we all need correction at times. And
that's what you look for.
Absolutely. Constructive correction, right? You never want anybody to just beat up on you without being able to correct you in love or with respect, mm-hmm. you know? So I try to model that, especially with my mentees as well.
As you continue on your path in life and you continue to learn and gain that wisdom, what would you say to your younger self, that 21, 22-year-old Angela, your own words of wisdom, if you look back at you and said, hey.
So I'm going to cross spectrums here. First of all, I would say leave that knucklehead alone. Two, I would say go after everything you want, when you want it and how you want it, and just believe in yourself, right?
That's that key, believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself and to let go. I am hard on myself to just let go sometimes. I'm an overthinker. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, super analytical, but just let go sometimes. Let go, let love. And that's for family and romantic relationships. And I don't regret anything except for selling my first home. I do regret that. That is like the biggest regret I have. I will say that. But other than that, I think everything that I was supposed to do, I was for a purpose and has led me here. Of course, I can always think of what I should have, could have done. You know, I could have went to a different university. I could have been living in a different state. But I have to say that I appreciate the community that I have been able to establish and build here. I don't know if I would have been able to do the same in another city, large or small. There has definitely been some ups and downs, but through it all, God has seen me through every single situation. And I'm sometimes in awe.
No, I was going to say in awe, in amazement.
In awe that I have come out unscathed and as prosperous as I am. I had this conversation with my mom and, you know, just her looking at all of her children and where we are. You know, to grow up in the same household, you wonder sometimes how does that one sibling, mm-hmm. how does that one sibling go astray? But I can say that I have made my parents proud and I've made myself proud.
Blessings. Easy breezy question. My next one, I love it. I have to, it's a must ask for me. I love to laugh. So I ask everyone, what makes you laugh? What gives you that joy? Like that gut wrenching, like, okay, this is so funny.
Oh, goodness. You know, things that are brainless. I watch a lot of TikTok videos. And I am silly at heart. I love corniness. Like, so I make corny jokes. So when I'm in the presence of my friends, you can expect me to just let my hair down, be silly, and be a little bit corny. And so you have to love it or like it or leave it.
Those are your options.
Those are your options. And I just like things that make me laugh, because in these days, I have learned that if you can't laugh at yourself, you are taking yourself way too seriously. Exactly. And I just appreciate laughter. So, I thumb through IG and TikTok and watch videos. I have to watch myself because that can definitely go on for too long sometimes.
And you look up and you started at 6 and now it's 10. And you're like, wait a minute.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, not that long. But, you know what I don't like is when the phone tells me how many hours I've spent.
On your screen time.
On my screen time. Yes. So.
Absolutely. Okay, final question. So much happening in the world that we live in today. People are often looking for a word of encouragement. Any favorite sayings or models that you use to encourage yourself and others? And it doesn't have to be like a firm quote, just maybe even a thought process.
So one of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you. And so I just keep that in the back of my head when I do experience times of self-doubt, that God has a plan for me. I have a purpose. I know my purpose. But sometimes, you know, even in knowing your purpose, there's just interrupters. And so COVID has been a huge interruption for me. And having confidence that these plans that God has for me, some that he has not revealed, are still for me. And so I do reflect on that. And also another, not really a quote, but just the thought that, you know, your name is everything, right? You know, reputation wise. And so just be mindful of how you carry yourself, what you say, how you say it, you know, to whom you say it to. You never know who you're in the presence of. I've heard of stories where people are in an Uber car and they are able to make some amazing connections that help their business flourish. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think being kind goes a long way. Being respectful goes a long way. And you can agree to disagree with people, you know, especially in this time where we're so oversaturated with negative messages in the media, in life. Find your quiet space and just meditate, pray, whatever that looks like for you. Have some alone time. I've had a lot of it.
I think everyone has at this point, right, for this last year.
I've had a lot of it. And I've had a lot of time to think about the things that I want to do and still be. But, you know, I just think being kind, being gracious, being respectful goes a long way. And again, you never know who is in your midst and how things will shape up for you. So I know there are people out there that are just angry at the world. And, you know, they do something in a split second without thought or cause. And they don't know how that just impacts their life, you know. So I say take a moment. Even if, how many times have you written an email that you were getting ready to send back to someone and you had to
24-hour rule.
24 hours, right? And just think about it.
Meditate.
Rest in it and ask yourself, am I about to send something that will have an internal impact on my career? Is it that bad? Or how can I say it differently? Because now the emotion may...
And is it worth it, right? Getting your angry position out there? Because it might be just reflective of something that happened in your response.
Exactly.
But then to think about it, mull over it. Give it that 24 hours.
I've done that a number of times, for sure.
Well, Angela Nelson, I really enjoyed this conversation. Speaking with one of our powerful women right here in West Michigan, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And we also want to thank all of our listeners as well for joining us for this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Produced by women, about women. These powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at WGVU.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. It is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.